Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. A little foggy in areas out there, but it's okay. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, sickos. It's Robert.
Robert, how's it going?
It's going great. Just a little road blockage on my way to the studio this morning.
I know.
Everything's good.
Hey, that's H-Town, buddy. And lucky you don't have to deal with it every single day.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that before, too, man. All right, well, cool. Our sponsors today, McLean Trailers, the Belleville Meat Market, Texan Roofing, the Gotfish Expo, Boyd's One Stop, Mainstream Marketing, and Rick J. Bice and Associates. And real quick, we'll be talking, we'll start off with Bill Watkins this morning, Richard Totch from Conroe, Charlie Paradosky in Matagorda, Mike Jeffcoat in Venice, Louisiana. We'll be talking to James Plogg in G-Town, Sharky Marquez in G-Town, Cliff Webb in Corpus, Tex Bonin in Conroe, Blaine Friermuth in South Texas, and Harry Detan up on Lake Livingston. We'll talk to each and every one of them and see if we can provide any good information this morning. All right, weather in Galveston. Here's your info. 61 degrees down on the island, and it's fairly calm this morning. Not much wind right now, but they're calling for foggy this morning, followed by occasional showers during the afternoon. High today will be 63, winds east-northeast 10 to 20 at rain chance 50% this afternoon. Looks like it's going to be about 60% this evening, tonight, with areas of patchy fog, low near 60, east-southeast 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, overcast, high of 67, winds south-southeast 10 to 20 miles per hour. So foggy and rainy, just what we ordered. Not really, but. Tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a low coming up at 6:35 a.m. It's a negative 0.5. Then a high at 3:27 p.m. and 0.9. Then 7:12 a.m. is sunrise. 5:50 p.m. sunset. And our moon phase is 67%. Currently the buoy offshore 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. They're showing an east-southeast wind at 11, gusting to 13. Barometric pressure 29.99 inches and steady. Water temp 57, air temperature 59. Eagle Point at 61 degrees with 60 degree water. Northeast wind 7 to 8. And at Morgan's Point, 62 degrees with 58 degree water. East northeast at 6 to 7. So there it is. Looks pretty okay to me. All right, let's head over to Sabine and let's get started off with Captain Bill Watkins this morning. Bill, good morning. What's up? We got him there, Robert?
Hello.
Got him? Bill, good morning.
Hello.
What's
hey,
up?
Hey, man. I think we got sidetracked there for just a second.
Something happened, but that's all right. We're here.
Yeah.
We're on air.
We're here now. Oh, yeah, man. I'm sitting here. I got the door open on the wood heater. I just throwed another log in there on it. Got me a hot cup of butternut pecan coffee.
Butternut pecan.
Yep, got me a nice rounded tablespoon of ribbon cane syrup in that coffee. Kick back right here in my old recliner in front of the heater. Life is good, man. I've got this going on.
Yeah, you do. Ribbon cane syrup, huh? You know, I put a teaspoon of honey in my coffee, but I never tried ribbon, you know, pure cane syrup.
Well, if you've ever used brown sugar in your coffee, the ribbon cane has pretty much a similar flavor. And it's, you know, that's the real stuff. It's locally done around here. Actually, I've made it myself.
It's fine blue ribbon syrup? Stuff.
It's just plain old ribbon cane. Yeah, it's
okay.
It's made out of that old dark purple looking sugar cane. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's an art cooking that stuff down. And it's, some people mix it with Cairo syrup to keep it from turning to sugar. But the guys that really know how to do it just use straight up cane juice. They don't mix anything in it. So it's good either way you go.
Yeah. Remember when we were kids, we used to chew on sugar cane.
Oh, yes, sir. I had a good friend up there in Newton County, had a farm, and he had a syrup squeezer. He'd squeeze that cane, and we would have a syrup making every year, late November. And it'd be cold, and man, I mean, he made some of the finest buttermilk biscuits that you ever put in your mouth. And it was a party. People from all over the area would come, and even they'd let some of the school kids out, and they'd come on the bus and watch that sugar cane being made in the syrup. Hey, those were the good days, brother.
Yeah. You don't see much like that anymore.
They'd take that sugar cane after we'd squeeze it out, get the juice out of it, we'd take a pitchfork and pitch it over the fence to his big old fat cows, and they'd eat that sugar cane. Now, that was something to watch. You think, as tough as that stuff is, a cow couldn't chew it. They love it. They just sit there and munch on that stuff. They'd be 20 or 30 head just standing there on the other side of that fence. They'd eat it as fast as they could chew it up. That's good fodder for them. Must have tasted really good, too, because all of them would come out of the pasture over to that fence to get some of it.
I can't get over how those cows down in South Texas eat those cactus petals like they do. I can't even get near one without cactus jumping into me. I don't know how they eat that stuff. But they do.
It's fascinating what they can do in that country.
That is. And deer, too. Deer eat those that prickly pear, and I'm just amazed by it.
And they even eat, when everything else is kind of scarce, those crazy cows down there will eat rotten wood.
Oh, yeah.
For fodder. Have you ever seen them do that?
Yeah.
First time I ever saw one do that, I'm thinking, what's he getting out of that? But, hey, that's evidently a pretty common thing.
Survivors.
Yeah, and not only that, they were fat.
Yeah.
Somehow they were finding enough in that dry country to really live good on.
Wow.
But I think I'm a cattleman at heart that never got out of my skin. I think I'm still outside looking in, but I did help my uncle through with his cows back when I was a kid growing up. Pitched hay and the whole thing. It's a lifestyle that not many people get to live anymore, and it's a good lifestyle, I think.
It is. Nothing like the smell of the country.
Oh, my. Yeah.
The sweet smell of slicks on the coast and salty water, and the good smell of the woods in the country.
Boy, God give us some good things to do, didn't he?
We take it for granted. We don't ever think about things like that. We just do, you know, it's just second nature. To us.
That's what you call taking time to smell the slicks, right?
That's it, buddy. There's nothing better.
It is.
I call it Chanel number five.
That's it. You got it.
Biggest mistake a trout ever made.
That's right. Don't overdo it, trout. Don't barf up or you'll be in. Don't let me scare you idling over you with my boat. You know, there's something about that now that we're back on fish again. It seems to me that those little trout don't make slicks, the little ones. I'm talking about those 12, 13, 14 inches. I think mostly the slicks are made by the the better size fish.
Like the better fish.
3 pounders.
Yes.
3 pounders on up to about, you know, ever how big.
I like those 9 pound slicks. 8 and 9 pound slicks.
But it seems like when there's just a bunch of school trout out there, small trout, I don't see many slicks.
Their metabolism is so fast and everything. They hang on to their food. They digest it big time. And they feed on smaller stuff to where they're not made, especially a lot of shrimp. They don't make a lot of shrimp slicks. Now, your bigger fish that are on fin fish and mullet and stuff like that. Now, you talk about some oily, good-smelling watermelon slicks.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy.
And over here, they eat a lot of pogey and small finger mullet.
Them shad and slicks are it.
I believe, you can tell me if I'm wrong. I won't get upset at you. I'm thinking that the reason I haven't seen that many slicks in the last couple of winters and springs is because I don't have that many bigger trout.
You're right. I'm on with that. Same here.
I've got a lot of little trout out there, you know, anywhere from 12 to 16 inches, 17 inches. And that's why I don't see many slicks. And while we're on that subject, what else do you think that's out there that makes slicks?
All fish slick, pretty much. You know, you'll even see catfish slick in fresh water, you know, when you're fishing. But gaff tops slick real hard in the summer months when when they come in. Redfish slick big time. When you find all these really big, huge slicks out in the middle of nowhere, that's redfish most of the time. I love working those open water slicks with those redfish in it. You'll find a big one. I'll just shut her down and start idling until I'll see some spook slicks pop up way ahead of the big slick, and then I got them located. Then put the troll motor down and take your time getting to them. Don't press them. And ease in there and start fishing those lead slicks, and that's where those better fish are going to be on the very front end of that school.
That's right. You got that nailed down, of course.
I got it. If there's one thing I can do at saltwater fishing, that's fish slicks. I mean, I've been doing it my entire life. And, you know, we've been talking about how few a fish we have now after all the floods and, you know, especially Harvey and all that. You can make a run through the bay system, your normal runs. I got all my track lines. I know where fish live year-round. And all the hard spots and all that. And you make about 4 or 5 loops through all that, and you don't find any slicks at all in the summer months, you don't have any fish, period.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you may be able to stop and catch one, but I'm talking about fish, schools and schools of fish, and just repetitions of slicks everywhere. And that's what fish do. When you got a lot of them, you got a wide prevalence of slicks, and you can tell by the amount of them what kind of numbers of fish you have. And it's been a little lean the last couple of years on that open water slick fishing. A little lean.
It has been.
Now, redfish is another thing, you know, but as far as trout go, yeah.
Mid-bay here at Sabine, it's been lean out there for the last couple of years.
Oh, I used to love to come over here in the summer and ride around out there till I found them. Just sit down on them. You can sit on them all day long, chase them all the way across the lake.
Last summer, there were not that many redfish out there. I think we had a whole age class of reds. You know, I'm talking 30 inches and so.
Right.
Slipped on out into the Gulf last spring, mid-spring last year.
Right.
Right when the COVID hit, those redfish just slipped on out and went into the Gulf. And then we've had to raise another age class. Of course, there are several places around Sabine that have big estuaries.
Oh, yeah.
So we may get an influx of redfish from any of those areas at any time. But last summer now, I know a lot of the guys that fish up north in the Neches River in Sabine, up toward the west, toward Galveston Bay. There was a lot of redfish in those areas. smaller reds, you know, 16, 19s, 20s, those fish will eventually work their way into the lake and come down.
They'll all be slots this year. Yeah.
That's right. We may see lots of reds.
Let me do my quick commercial break, and I'll come right back at you. Hang with me, Bill. Let me get this in. We're running over. Well, you know, folks, McLean Trailers, they've been serving our community since the 1950s. They're located right off of Interstate 10 between the Uvalde and Normandy exits. They're right there on the North Feeder. You can't miss them. They have a complete showroom. It's full of parts and accessories and a lot that's full of utility, lowboy, gooseneck, and cargo trailers, not to mention their great boat trailers. And I've trusted McLean's for over 40 years with their fine staff and product line. Nothing pulls like a McLean. They build them right here in Houston, and they have two plants in Louisiana. They are also a repair center for all of your trailer repair needs. Take it in, they'll go through it, make it like new again. If not, they'll sell you a new one and stand behind it. Check them out on the web at McLeanTrailers.com or call them at 713-675-2761. You can trust the name. It's been serving our community since the 1950s. That's McLean Trailers. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 417 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Bill Watkins. All right, Bill, we are back.
Yeah,
we're talking on those redfish in the 16 to 19 inch class that are probably slots now.
Yeah, and they've matter of fact, I was catching them up the Natchez myself back in early December, and boy, I'm telling you, we sat there one day and caught 32 reds on gulp. Just put gulp on a jig head or gulp on a short Carolina rig, and we caught 32 redfish and had 16 up to about 19 inches, and let them all go. I said, you know what, guys, this school's going to hit the bay here probably by about February. They're going to be out there swimming around in the lake.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to have a good time with them. But the guys that caught the redfish more consistently last year, and I'm talking slop heads,
yeah,
were fishing up in the north end of the system and up the Sabine, up the Natchez, and west up the intercoastal. That's where the majority of our redfish were. We didn't have that much fresh water. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't bother those redfish too much anyway. When that water gets fresh, muddy, from a release up by the dam somewhere, they will they'll get a little difficult to catch till the water kind of clears a little, but you still catch them.
Right.
And, there was plenty of reds up there, but the Louisiana side and the southern end was a little bit lean for red fishing. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of watch that and travel around the bay to find them. But some years, you know how they are. They're swarming in the middle of the lake, you know, upper size slot reds.
Yeah, they do. They cycle like our trout do, you know, in size like that.
But overall, our red fishery over here is healthy. And a lot of the redfish are being reared in dammed off ponds right now. The duck hunters, the landowners up in Louisiana side will dam up those ditches and bios, you know, way up in the upper reaches, and they'll dam that off and try to make freshwater ponds for the ducks. Well, when you have three and four hurricanes coming through in September or whatever,
sure,
you know, that doesn't work.
No.
Nature will finally take care of itself. But
nature will flow through. It'll punch through. No matter how hard you try it. I saw them do that in East Bay. Remember when they closed up Sun Oil Cut?
And oh, yeah.
I said, well, that's not going to fly. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, that marsh in there and this tide flow, it's going to blow through somewhere. And now just west of there, it's blown out of the marsh onto the shoreline there. You've got several cuts. It just blew out. Now, that water's got to have a way to go in and out, and it'll work its way through. Water's a great force.
They didn't accomplish anything with that action.
No, not at all.
First time I saw that, I went, what the heck did they do this for? Yeah. And that won't last. That's the first thing I said. I said, that ain't going to last.
Well, it didn't. And it, it created three or four more cuts that are better fishing holes now anyway. But
that's exactly that Sun right. Cut it actually improved it.
That was a, man, that was just such a great place to wade fish around there. And the, like from till about March, those fish would blow through that marsh and then they'd come out that cut and fan up and down those shorelines. We used to stand there and just wear out huge trout and redfish all year long doing that.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite places to fish over there.
It was good.
Yep, that's some great fishing there.
And then don't but get me started on rollover. Ugh.
Oh, no. I can't think about that without getting upset.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
You know, it doesn't matter that I don't fish down there anymore. I hadn't fished there for 15 years. That's not the issue. There's a lot of people that did. And to me, it's nostalgic to me because I learned how to fish right there.
A bunch of us
My dad and I learned together. Yeah, we learned how to fish. I still have my biggest trout from right there.
There's a monster swam through that cut right there.
I caught a 9.0, weighted on one of the certified scales, and the guy standing right next to me in the water had a 10.04.
I believe
right
it.
There. And I hung another one that was probably bigger than what I had. And I still got the picture of that. And I've been trying to top that trout the rest of my life. Can't do it.
You know,
I've had people in the boat that topped it, but I can't be the guy.
That'd blow your mind if we really knew the numbers of, over the years from just say back in the 30s till up to nowadays, how many 9 to 10, 11, 12 pound trout have swam through all these passes like Rollover and the Jetties and San Luis Pass, Sabine Pass, you know, on this upper Texas coast. Brazos River, Colorado River, blow your mind.
More than a few.
You got it.
Yep. I sure miss that place. I mean, first time I saw it after it'd been filled in, I just broke out in tears. I'll be honest with you. We were going down to Stingray Restaurant to eat shrimp, and we hadn't been down in a while, and I drove across that bridge.
Blows your
mind,
doesn't it?
I got tears. Yeah, it hurt. It hurt me. I mean, just because I still see me and my dad standing there on that piling wall, looking around trying to figure out how to catch whatever it was. We didn't even know what kind of fish we were supposed to fish for.
The big Atlantic croaker runs, flounder runs, trout run, redfish run, drum run, all that through that pass over the years.
There's all of it right there.
Religiously fished it, and I can tell you what time of year they're going to come through every year within a day or two.
That's crazy. Right. We got that good at it. I was 12 years old the first day we went down there. And, man, I mean, we just sat there and watched because we didn't know what kind of fish you were supposed to fish for. We just heard it was a good fishing hole. And our experience expanded from there to where we are today. I mean, then we had a boat finally. Got out in East Bay and chased school fish and learned how to find them on the shorelines and the reefs. And hey, that was a wonderful learning experience.
Well, everybody's got to learn. I mean, that's the learning process. You start out doing things like that and you just progress as you get into the sport that much more and enhance your skills. And then you can grow up to be a darn old fishing guide like us. Take your hobby and turn it into a profession.
Crusty with barnacles all over.
That's it. Weathered nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My skin doctor said, "Hey," he said, "look here on your leg right here." He was examining me. He said, "look at there." He said, "that's a barnacle." I said, "what?" He said, "yeah, it's a barnacle on your skin right there." He said, "look, there's another one over there." I said, "well, that stands to reason that I'd be growing barnacles.
Yeah,
I've been out there too much." But that's what they call them, barnacles, those crusty places. I said, check that out. It's finally growing on me just like it is on those steel pilings out there on the rigs. Next thing you know, there'll be a sheephead gnawing on it.
Oh, you hope? Better hope not. I got some good teeth. That's the biggest fear of white fishing is a sheephead, his top fin stabbing you in the leg, man. I had a guy, buddy of mine, waiting with me, and he had this monster sheephead up. He made it, me and Plog reel in and said, get your lure out of the way. I got the one I've been looking for. We thought he had a 10-pound trout on. Turns out it was a big old nasty sheephead, about 9 pounds. And he's messing with it, and that thing flopped just right, and it's stuck that top fin, one of the big ones, right into his leg and broke off in his leg. We had to go back to the boat, put a hole in his waders, and I had a pair of those little fishing tweezers in my leaning post, and I had to pull that fin out. It was about an inch long, broke off in his leg.
Poor guy, golly.
Ruined his waders, got a big old hole in them.
That's tough. Shoot.
Ruined that mirror. Well, those treble hooks were just crushed from those teeth biting down on them.
Hey, you got to respect a fish that can eat barnacles off of a steel pile.
Well, yeah, a fish hook's no match for him, you know, if you think about it.
Oh, God. Yeah, if you fish for those things, you know, with a small treble hook, you got to change your hook out every once in a while.
A sheephead's like a feral hog. He can eat corn through a picket fence.
They sure can.
Speaking of feral hogs, you know, y'all aren't, I'm not hearing about it over there. Y'all aren't experiencing the bull red problem like we have here in our bays. Man, these bull reds have just taken over the world over here. They're like the feral hog of the bay. They eat everything.
Yeah, I know that y'all have that problem. We don't. Most of our bull reds are out in the surf, on the jetty, you know, where they're supposed to be. Now, there's been years that I had some oversizes out there swimming around, schooling, eating big pogey.
Yeah.
But that problem is not as extensive here as it is where you're at. And I don't, you know, I think the reason for that is you just got such a big, deep bay.
Mm-hmm.
And they can live in the, you know, and Galveston Bay is deeper, and they can live in that. And they think they're in the Gulf, I do believe. I don't think they have to go any further out than that.
We got them.
You know, once you leave the ship channel here, and then you go into the lake, you pass that bridge, that Causeway Bridge, and real quick the water goes from 30 foot on up to about 12, 6, and orange reefs and stuff like that. And that's about as far as they go for the most part. But you'll find some occasionally, even in the back of Keith Lake, there's some 40 inchers.
Yeah.
I think they're landlocked back there. They don't really know how to get out. They were probably stopped, and they don't even know how to get out of there.
Sure.
But that's not the rule. That's just the exception.
Can you still get into Keith Lake through the intercoastal back there?
No.
That cut's no longer there?
No, they put a weir on that years ago.
I remember years ago you could come in that way from the intercoastal into Keith Lake.
Yeah, I wish you still could, but they've done their best to make Keith Lake and all that area a freshwater pond.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, they even put baffles in the fish pass.
Right.
They put rock baffles in there and built a brand new launching ramp off to the side on the north side of the fish pass, and you can launch a darn big, you can launch a 25-foot bay boat in there.
Right.
And there's lots of people. Nowadays, everybody's got a brand new boat except me.
Mm-hmm.
And they launch a lot of big boats in there, and they run all over that area. And there's still some good fishing in Keith Lake. It's, you know, the fish pass is good, and the very back reaches, they stock redfish and trout in there most years. It's always got some fish in it.
Yeah. Well, cool. All right, Bill. I'm up on another break, and I enjoyed the conversation this morning. That was good stuff. If somebody wants to come fish with you and experience it, put them out a number, my friend.
409-673-9211.
Or fishsabeanlake.com.
You got it.
All right, Bill. Hey, have a good weekend. I'll talk to you next week. Take care, my friend.
Will do, bro. Bye-bye.
All right, Bill. See ya. All right, that's Captain Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. And I need to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market, located right in downtown Belleville. They're a short drive from Sealy on I-10 or Hempstead on 290. And if you've never been to the Belleville, you kind of owe it to yourself to make a drop by and check out. They've got great barbecue there, and plus their store inside. You can get all the fine cuts of meat you're looking for and other amenities. And their processing facility, it's right next door. And people are still harvesting white-tailed deer and exotics all over the great state of Texas. Take your wild game to the Belleville Meat Market. It's the best processing I've found ever. I've been using them 13 years. Check them out on the web at bellevillemeatmarket.com. You can actually make online orders. They'll ship it right to your door. Or you can call them at 979-865-5782. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 433 in the Bayou City. Let's run up Lake Conroe way now, and let's check in with the fish dude, old Richard Tosh. Hey, Rascal.
What do you know, good, Mickey?
Not a lot, buddy. What's up with you?
Oh, good night. Just trying to get all these fish caught, and it ain't happening. I can't catch them all. I'm trying.
You'll never live long enough to do that, Richard. I know it's...
That's all right.
You want to catch them all, but it'll never happen. They just you just can't catch them all. I've tried.
Well, you got to keep going. That's the thing. There ain't no doubt. I'll tell you what. All this week I've been out there. I've been spooning, trying to. You're just looking for hybrids and stuff more than anything. And
right.
So I've been out there hanging out in that deep water a lot. And it's kind of funny. The water temperatures, like yesterday, it was up to 58 when I come off the water. I'm going, dang, they should be up getting ready to spawn, you know, mm-hmm. and are trying to get there.
They
ought to be. And I run up in some shallow stuff, but like I said this morning, they got that Bass Nation deal going on, so there's going to be quite a few boats in it. And then tomorrow's Angler's Quest. So there's lots of people out there, and they're all up in that shallow water. And I said, well, foot on it. I'm just going to head south. And I went down south, and all week long, just been out there, like I say, spooning and stuff. I'm catching dang largemouth more than anything, and that's what's crazy. I'm out there in 26 to 30 foot of water catching anything from 12-inch to 5.5-pound largemouth. I'm going, what the heck is going on here? You know, the water temperature's coming up. Everything's right. Now, the lake's up a little bit, so that's kind of – and that's also adding a different little complexity to it, is because with the water up, they shouldn't be out there in that dang 30-foot of water like they are, but they are. And so it's kind of a funny thing. You know, I've found some hybrids just running around, but they ain't down there on the bottom. They're cruising. So it's you know, and then you get out there and just – you run across a bunch of largemouth out there like that. It's like, what the heck? So, I don't know. I may have to just start fishing some deep, deep water for some largemouth here in the near future and see what I can come up with. There may be some big ones hiding out down there that I don't know about.
I guarantee you there is.
I know there is. Cause I guarantee you, them rascals. I mean, and I do this every year. I love going out there and jigging spoons in the winter months because those fish tend to bunch up. The bait bunches up and the fish tend to bunch up too.
Mm-hmm.
So when you catch one, you'll catch more than one. And, you know, that's kind of a play thing I like to do. And, you know, sometimes I get people out there, you know, after a little while, they can't take much of it because you look like Popeye in one arm. After you do it a little bit, you wouldn't think 1 ounce of weight would wear you out so much, but you bounce that rascal off the bottom for 3 or 4 hours. I guarantee you, your forearm's going to feel it.
Oh yeah.
You're going to realize you've been working out. That's kind of like out there offshore. One of the first times I went out there, not the first, but one of the first times I went offshore, I didn't know what none of those dang old fish were out there. And we had I can't remember. I think it's like a six-aught pin type reel, you know, loaded down with some line. And we're bottom fishing. and it's sitting there bottom fishing for snapper and stuff. I'm looking down, I see these fish shooting through the water. And I asked that deckhand, I said, what are those things right there? And he said, that's amberjack. So, and I didn't know what the heck they were.
Yeah, get you some of them. You
know, yeah. And he tied on a big old white jig and dropped that rascal to the bottom. When it hit the bottom, he started jerking it up about 5 feet, and he'd reel down as fast as he could, and he'd jerk it again. He did that 3 or 4 times, and all of a sudden that rod hit the side of the boat and just started ripping drag out. And I said, that's what I want right there.
There you go.
Reef
donkeys.
I'll tell you what. He said, take this. And I said, no, you get that, and I'll get the rest of them. And I dropped that dang thing down there. And, man, I'll tell you what, I must have caught 20 of them dang things before I finally said, that's enough. I set that dang rod down, and I said, anybody else want some, get it.
Yeah, it makes you sleep good at night.
Ooh-wee, man, them sunguns pull like a freight train.
They do.
I mean, man, it's crazy. But that's, you know, it's like them danged old hybrids. I'm ready to get these dang things fired right up. It's, I'll try a whole bunch of different stuff this year. Just like, and that's, I had mentioned that here in February, I think the first weekend of February, to say 13th through the 21st, I think. I'm headed to Arkansas. I'm going to go fishing up at Beaver Lake and all that stuff. I'm going to go hit a bunch of lakes in Arkansas. Go with some different guides up there, these sure enough striper guides up there, see what they do differently than what I do. Yeah. So I can't catch me one of them big old 50-pound stripers up there. It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all.
Well, but we used to catch some big ones down here in the bay up around the spillway, especially at night there, wade fishing. Oh, yeah. They were easier to catch at night. Those big eyeballed fish, that you couldn't fool them during the daytime. And, boy, at night after a northern blow all the water out, we'd go up there and wade down that gut. There used to be a deep gut that ran out into the bay. It's all silted in now. But, man, we used to wear them out in there.
I'll be darned. See, you know, you don't hear that much along the Texas coast. You hear of it on the East Coast a lot, you know, because around New England and all in there, and they got all those the saltwater stripers, which is what they truly are.
Yeah, they're originally a saltwater fish. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you got some that survived in these landlocked lakes like Texoma and Buchanan, you know, and Whitney. Most of those lakes are rocky lakes. That's what I've noticed about them. The lakes that they actually reproduce in are rocky lakes because they are saltwater fish. And that's what's kind of neat. You know, you take a saltwater fish like that and you catch him in the saltwater, that rascal will pull your arm off. I mean, he will not slow down. I mean, that sunhound is strong. You put him in a freshwater lake, he's still strong. He ain't quite as strong because he ain't fighting all that current. But good night, I'll tell you what, them sunguns are.
Plus, he's not having to run from predators like sharks.
I guarantee you, boy. You know, that's got to be why them dang things swim so fast. Because I always wondered, they swim like 40 miles an hour. I'm sitting there going, you know, why in the world they swim so dang fast? It ain't to catch bait because that bait don't move that fast. So it's got to be to get away. That's all it can be.
In saltwater, there's always a bigger fish that's going to eat you.
I know it.
I think the bad to the bone badass fish in the saltwater is a blue marlin. You know, a marlin is just, there's no bait fish or any other fish that can outswim him. If he wants you, he's going to eat you.
And I'll tell you what,
it's an amazing fish.
I seen one over at Venice next to one of them rigs over there, and you ain't kidding. And when they pop that bill around, they got you. It don't matter. And he was thrashing on some bait over next to one of these rigs over there, and you can see that bill just a swatting. And I'm going, good night. And he's quick. He can fold that fin down and get after it too.
Yeah, they're built for speed, and man, they can get it. If I'm not mistaken, I think they're probably one of the fastest fish in the ocean.
That and the wahoo. The wahoo's pretty quick too.
He better get out of the way because marlin will run him down and eat him.
I hear you. But I tell you what, that's like last year when we went over there and did that Bahamas thing. We just riding around out there chasing them wahoo, and I couldn't believe that you were trolling baits at 14 knots.
Oh yeah,
I'm going. You got to You got to be kidding me. There ain't nothing can catch it. Oh, yeah, they'll catch it.
You know, we take that for granted with our trout fishing and red fishing, too. If they want it, there's not a real mate that can outrun one of them. If they want to come get your lure, they're going to run it down and eat it.
And that's right, you know, and there's several people bass fishing out there that are doing crankbaits the same way. You know, they're mm-hmm. cranking them crankbaits wide open, and they're using high-speed reels to do it.
Well, it makes for a long day.
It does. Well, I guarantee you.
Run them cranks all day long. That's it. That's work.
I'm telling you, that's like the other day after that rattle trap deal. We got me and my wife got out of that boat, and she goes, "My hands are locked." I said, "You've been chopping wood all day, huh?"
Yeah.
Her hands done locked up around that reel from cranking on that thing all day. That I mean, most people don't understand that. You go to holding on to a reel, and you get just to get where you're in a tournament mode where every cast counts and you're going to make every single cast you can possibly make, and you do it all day, your hands will actually form around that rod and reel, and you'll pull your hand will pull off of there and it'll look like the claw. It's coming to get you because it'll be locked up like you've been chopping wood all
day. Hey, just
day
think
long.
How we felt back in the old days, you know, fishing with that World War II tackles, what I call it now. You know, them old heavy rods and big old ambassador reels, palming one of those all day and fishing hard, wade fishing with those. I mean, you almost had to go to the chiropractor after a week of that.
I heard that because, I used to use them spinning reels all the time, and Daddy was a big fan of them old Mitchell 300s and them mm-hmm. big aluminum cases on them. I mean, that thing unweighed 5 pounds.
Seemed like it. Felt like 10 at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, it felt like about 100-pound sack. I guarantee you didn't want to tote it no more because it was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, this thing, the handle was heavy.
We don't realize how good we have it now. You know,
well,
with the light rods and the light reels and the capabilities of them compared to just, you know, a short time ago. I mean, it was just yesterday and we were fishing with just junk, absolute junk.
Well, speaking of all these changes, I've been fishing with this new little 13 fishing crankbait, that little Jabberjaw thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, you got some of those? I got some, too. I can't wait to use them on trout and redfish, man. The way that bill wobbles back and forth.
You should see the action. I bet it's nuts. Man, that thing has got one of the widest wobbles you've ever seen. I mean, good night.
That's a perfect lure for you and your boat, Jabberjaw. That's perfect. They must have named that after you.
I guess they must have, because I'll tell you what, I've been junking it up against them rocks, and I've been thinking about it, how it works through there really good, you know. I hadn't got real much timber yet, but I've been chunking it around the rocks a lot, and it's working through the rocks really good right now, and stuff like that. So it's and I'm you know, I'm always trying to imagine what that lure's doing in the water as it's deflecting off of stuff, especially those square bills, because that's what they're for, is deflecting.
Yeah, what that bait runs, that, what, about 2 to 4 feet?
I've been chunking it on 30-pound braid. It'll go about 6.
Can you get it down that far? Okay, well, that's
you
good.
Get it down to about 6 with 30-pound braid.
That's the most of the range I fish anyway year-round.
Yep.
It's anywhere from 2 to 6 feet.
Yep.
Majority of the time.
And I'll tell you what, it's deadly. I mean, that's that thing if you bounce it off a rock, you got to think it's tinging because it's got a metal bill now instead of a plastic bill. So
well, and it makes noise.
Bill.
Is that bill clicks back and forth on that plastic bait, that metal bill. It's making all the noise it needs to make, you know, for vibration for the fish to pick up.
And that wobble just kills me. I mean, it's when you bring it through the water and you're looking at it, I mean, that thing is just kicking so hard from one side to the other. It's crazy.
Awesome.
And that's, I mean, that's, I love it. We're going to get out there and get them. I got to get off these deep water fish. They don't like a square bill.
All right, well, you got me fired up now. I got to go to Matagorda and talk to Charlotte. We're going to go catch some trout now, buddy. Hey, Richard, if somebody wants to book you, give them some info, bud.
Anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right. That's a mouthful.
Yeah. Right, right when I was choked up.
All right, buddy. Hey, have a good day. I'll talk to you next week, man.
Yes, sir. Richard. Y'all have fun.
All right, buddy. All right, now let's run down Matagordaway and let's hook up with Captain Charlie P. Charlie, what's up?
Morning, Mickey. What's happening?
Oh, not a lot. How you doing, buddy?
I'm fine. Resting up, laying low. Didn't have any takers for today.
Well, good. Rest up, lay up.
Tired of fighting no wind.
Yeah, that no wind, it kills y'all down there. Makes an old man like you have to put that troll motor down and get to work.
Yeah, that worked. That worked Thursday just fine, but it didn't work for me yesterday. We went and waded first, and there was a little bit of a breeze early. I probably should have been over there drifting then.
But yeah,
we just picked on a few yesterday and came in early, but it was a tougher bite.
Yeah, but, James told me he saw you. What was that?
Yeah.
Thursday. Wednesday?
Thursday.
Or Thursday, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit different that day. It was cloudy. No sun, and that trolling motor deal worked. You know, especially those fish fed on that minor bite, about 11 o'clock. I guess I was just in the right place to get them, but it didn't work yesterday. That sun came out. It was pretty bright. And when I first got over there, you could look in the water and see drums swimming into the boat, big drum.
Oh, man.
And that's when the fish were feeding. We caught some then, but then all of a sudden it just went dead still, flat, not a breath of air. That's tough fishing.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I know quite a few boats went out offshore to those snappers, and they got them, but other than that, it was a tough bite. Like those dead calm conditions.
No, there's not much movement.
Is it dead calm again this morning?
It's pretty calm. It's not dead calm. I mean, there's a little bit of breeze, 6-7 miles an hour. Let me look down your way and see what it's showing your way. Check that part of the coast out. I know it's kind of east northeast at about 9 here at the North Jetty. Yeah, you got a little more wind. Well, there at the harbor it's 6, but Port O'Connor is 12 and 13 in that area, kind of out of the northeast.
If they've got that, they'll catch them today. They'll bite this morning.
Yeah, it's 9 at St. Louis Pass. Down there around Sargent, it's 9. Yeah, you're all right. It's better than yesterday. At least you got some wind.
Well, we're not on the best tide schedule right now either. They're pretty weak.
You know? Yeah, we are. Got that low in the mornings, and then you got to wait till the afternoons to get that incoming.
All right.
Which is like up here be 3:27, so it'd be about a little after 4 o'clock down your way.
Yeah. That's just that time of the month you got to put up with that. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be in the right place at the right time to catch them right there when you're wading or drifting.
Boy, if the weather will hold for you, I think, you know, before this next full moon, you ought to get you a pretty good bite going, you know, for about 3 or 4 days, I bet. Probably be some big ones caught.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully.
We're on the upswing of that full moon next week. That's usually the best week to be out there fishing.
Yeah.
No That's what doubt. I like. Yeah.
I know you do. We've seen it all. I like right before that moon, about 3 to 5 days leading into it, the first one. That's pretty good fish movement right there.
Yeah. And that river's clearing up, so I heard of somebody catching a ton of fish in the river the other night.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good hiding spot on those bad weather days.
Right. Right. I don't think we've got any rain in sight for a while, do we?
Not a lot. I mean, we got a little bit of, I don't know, about a 50% chance tonight, maybe 60%, but about 50% this afternoon, but there is just showers. I don't think we're going to get any bad storm stuff or anything.
Yeah, it's good to have that river clear. I mean, it kind of spreads people out. We haven't had any heavy crowds this week, but I know when all this hunting stuff is over with, they'll come right back.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's winding down.
Yeah.
We got quail season and squirrel season going on, and I'm looking all over radar. I'm not seeing any moisture right now. So apparently,
we don't need it.
Well, that
we don't need it,
wind,
but some people do.
Yeah. There's a lot of parts of the state that could use it, but we don't want any more. I've had enough of this. What is that, your alarm? What is that? Robert, what happened? Was that on Charlie? Man, that's strange. Is he gone now? See what you can find out. Well, we're almost to a break anyway, but, man, I've been doing this a long time. I've never had that happen. I thought it was an alarm clock that went off or something. So that's all you got? All right. Well, let's go ahead and go to a break. I don't know what happened. We'll figure it out. But you're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We're going to take our top of the hour break. We'll be right back after these messages.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.